This is the Game Misconduct Podcast with Don LaGreca.
And welcome to the Thursday edition of Game Misconduct. I am Don LaGreca. Lots to get into. Only three games last night, but I thought two of them were pretty revealing. Flyers beat the Devils 4-0. Devils 0-2-1 to start the season. All the hype around them, you just wonder what kind of changes can be coming here. Could John Hines be in trouble? Because that's always a real recipe for disaster when the expectations are through the roof and they didn't do anything the year before, missed the playoffs. So that was kind of the excuse, right? Taylor Hall gets hurt. They had a bunch of other injuries. Didn't really improve the team. All right, they didn't make the playoffs. Gets a contract extension anyway midway through it. This year they go out and make a bunch of moves. They look like they're the team to beat. The most improved team, it looks like, on the surface. And, you know, they blow a 4-0 lead in Winnipeg on opening night, get completely blown their doors off, 7-2 in Buffalo, lose to Philadelphia 4-0. That game was competitive midway through and scoreless, but there's just so many things to dive into, and you just wonder, does Ray Shiro make a coaching change? So I would think, along with Pete DeBoer in San Jose, that there's going to be a lot of heat on John Hines. He's been there for a while, only one playoff appearance, and they lost in 5 to Tampa that year. He's had some excuses, but you've got a healthy Taylor Hall. You got P.K. Subban. You've got two really good young players you went out and got, and Gusev and Hughes. And it's probably really unfair to start grading Hughes. He's so young and so early in his development here. But, you know, when you have a lot of expectations and things aren't lived up to right away, that's a problem. And we can say, we can blame Corey Schneider all we want, but where was the Devils' offense last night, too? It was a team that hadn't played in a week because Philadelphia was in the Czech Republic. Devils have always kind of had Philadelphia's number. So that was a little bit disappointing. So what's going to happen with New Jersey? Something to keep an eye on. They got Edmonton tonight. That's a team that's been on a bit of a roll here early. I would not be surprised if this losing continues that there may be a change in New Jersey. I'm not hearing it. Nobody's whispering in my ear. I'm just looking at it and just what do you do, right? When does the patience begin to wear thin? You know, this is a team that has made one playoff appearance since going to the Stanley Cup Final in 2012, all right? Ray has been here a while. They've had not one but two first overall picks. You can say that his year has been a little bit of a disappointment here, considering he's the first overall pick and he's in his third year, but he certainly hasn't exploded by any stretch. What's going to happen with Taylor Hall? Is he going to get traded? Are they going to give him a contract extension? But you're talking about a guy that has won a Hart Trophy, and there's still so much swirling on whether he's got a future here or not. Now, the goaltending has really been in shambles. Now, is that Ray Shiro's fault? He didn't make the deal for Corey Schneider, but really nothing from a replacement has come to make you feel like they even got an alternative if they were going to cut the cord with Corey. So firing the coach seems to be the easiest of the things to do, right? So I'm a John Hines fan. I think he's a good coach, but good coaches get fired. Good coaches get fired when expectations aren't lived up to. Good coaches get fired when teams don't make the playoffs. Good coaches get fired when they're kind of just sitting in place, and that's what New Jersey has been. So certainly let's keep an eye on what's happening with the New Jersey Devils and the Flyers. Good job out of him. How about this? Andrew Gunling, who produces the Michael Kay Show, is a big Philadelphia fan, and he's a Flyer fan. And I was just talking to him before I started recording this. They had like a two-minute video tribute for Wayne Simmonds. I mean, that's class. Now, Wayne Simmonds was a really good player, a popular player, but, you know, he's not on the echelon of a Giroux or a kind of all-time Flyer like that, and certainly not an all-time Flyer like many from the past. But he was a good player here, a popular player here, and that's kind of a class act, his return after he was traded to Nashville. First time he had a chance to play back in Philadelphia, and they really honored him. That's pretty cool. That's something that I think players, especially free agents, look at and say, boy, you get treated well someplace when you can get that kind of a return. Not a guy that's going to be a Hall of Famer, not an all-time Flyer, not a guy that's won a Stanley Cup, but just a really good popular player getting that kind of reception from the fans and from the organization. That's something players really pay attention to. The game of the night seemed to be in Buffalo. The Sabres beat the Canadiens by the final score of 5-4. Kincaid makes the start for Montreal. The Canadiens try to do everything they can to fight back into this game after they had the 2-1 lead on Joel Armia's two-goal night. They got a 2-1 lead going into third, but then Eichel scores a couple to give them the lead in the third period. Is very interesting. After Skinner made it 4-2, you figured Montreal was in trouble, but they get a couple of quick goals back. to tie it up, including Ben Sherratt's first goal as a Canadian. But then they get to overtime, and Marcus Johansson scores his second to give Buffalo the win. That's a pretty good couple of days when you consider what's happened with the Buffalo Sabres, right? I mean, they had that wild game where they fought back, and they tied it late, only to lose to Columbus in overtime. But they did earn a point, and then they have a wild game at home against Montreal. They get the extra point. So give Buffalo a lot of credit, man. They've been a fun team to watch. They're a team that is 3-0-1 to start the season in a very competitive Atlantic division when you want to try to keep up with the Joneses, like Boston, like Tampa. Florida's off to a bit of a slow start, so the Sabres can take advantage of that. Now, no one is going to take it seriously. I mentioned in my tweet to tell you that I was recording today, nobody's going to take it seriously as whether the Sabres are for real or not, because they had a 10-game winning streak last year and couldn't parlay it into a playoff spot. But things just look to be a little bit different there. When you've got Eichel, you've got Skinner, who's a really skilled player. Goaltending has been good. It's fun. It's been a while since the Sabres have been good. That's a good point for Montreal on the road, but a better 2 points for the Buffalo Sabres. And how about the Canucks crushing the Kings 8-2? You know, we talked about, could one of the resolutions to the Devils' goaltending be the possibility of going out and getting a Jonathan Quick, and then he just puts up an absolute stinker in this one, giving up 8 goals. Hughes gets his first National Hockey League goal, which is kind of cool for him. Of course, all the attention's been on his brother in New Jersey, but Quinn Hughes gets his first point and his first goal, excuse me, as a Vancouver Canuck. And this was a fairly competitive game at 4-2 when Sean Walker scores 6:51 into the third, but then you just saw Vancouver just rattle off 4 straight goals. Edler's had a good start to the season. He's got 2 on the young season as well. So Vancouver gets their first victory of the season, and Los Angeles can't get any attraction at all after beating Calgary. And they go right back to work and get smoked in Vancouver. Tons of interesting games tonight. I got to tell you, when the Leafs and Lightning play, that to me is much watched hockey. You got to watch that. The Lightning off to a very mediocre start at 1-1-1. 2 of their 3 games have been against Florida, winning a loss. Toronto's played, this is going to be their 5th game already. And the one thing you can kind of say for sure is that they can score a ton of goals, or not a ton in their last game against the Blues. So that's interesting. Montreal in the second of back-to-backs welcomes in a Red Wings team that might be catching Montreal at the right time. Carey Price, I would think, would get the nod in this one. Detroit off to a good start, winning 2 of their last 3. I mentioned the Devils home against the Oilers. Oilers a perfect 3-0 to start the season in a very competitive Pacific. So that should be fun to watch, with the kid Hughes going up against now the veteran in Connor McDavid, who's having a spectacular year. How about the Ducks? Give them credit. 3-0 to start the season, going up against a Penguins team that's kind of wallowing around at 1-2 with the injuries to Bukestad, to Malkin. This could be a chance for the Ducks to maybe continue their hot start. Blues and Senators in Ottawa. Debut of Vlad Nemestikov for the Senators. Blues continue their Eastern swing 2-0-1, coming off a Stanley Cup. Not bad. The only loss was on opening night when they raised the banner, lost in overtime, blew a 2-goal lead against the Caps. But since then, a couple of wins, including an impressive win on Saturday against the Blues, and we'll see if the Senators can get their first win. I'll have an eye on Capitals Predators as well. Caps 2-0-2 to start the season. Preds 4 consecutive games at home, coming off a 5-2 win over San Jose. Wild and the Jets. Winnipeg finally returns home after a 2-2 start on the Eastern swing that basically saw everything, right? They lose to the Rangers at Madison Square Garden, although they did put up 4 goals, but lose. Come back from 4-0 down the very next night in New Jersey to be able to win that game. Then they had the Pittsburgh Penguins beat up on them. Lost to the Islanders, as the Islanders' only win has been against Winnipeg. So it's been kind of a wild Eastern swing. But what more can you ask for to be able to split the 4 games east? And now they come home to take on a Wild team still looking for their first win. And speaking of their first win, Sharks, they're in Chicago to take on the Blackhawks. Now, this convoluted schedule of going all the way out to the Czech Republic the way one game is what the Flyers and Blackhawks both went through. So the Blackhawks playing just their second game, coming off that loss in the Czech Republic to Philadelphia. And the Sharks, of course, 0-4. They got Kane back. They're getting healthier. But a real disappointing outing on Tuesday in Nashville. So we'll see if the Sharks can finally win their first game. Flames and the Stars. Stars finally get their first win in overtime the other night. Flames very mediocre at 1-1-1. Bruins and Avalanche. How much fun is this game going to be at 9 o'clock? Both teams undefeated. The Bruins, 3 straight wins to start the season. The Avalanche, 2 straight wins to start the season. So, boy, how do you feel if you're Boston? Starting out on the West Coast, starting out against some really good teams, and to be undefeated is great. And the Coyotes, a lot of talk around the Coyotes being better, and yet they're still looking for their first win. They're 0-2, welcoming in the Golden Knights, who have won 2 of their first 3 games. So a lot of fun games tonight in the National Hockey League. I'm looking forward to it. Now let's hear from you, at Don LaGreca, hashtag Game Misconduct. Let's start with Irene. What impact do you think Marleau will have in San Jose? Do you think he can still be productive at 40 years old? Also, as a San Jose fan, I listened to you call Ranger game last week, thoroughly enjoyed it. Well, thank you, Irene. I do appreciate that. Yeah, we didn't mention the Marleau's return to San Jose. A couple of years in Toronto, very productive. He's a forever San Jose Shark. Does he help them now? It's an older team that gets a little older. But listen, he's a center. He can maybe make some things happen on the power play, maybe get reunited with Joe Thornton. I think it's good for him to be able to close out his Hall of Fame career where it began. But right now, in the state of flux the Sharks are in, I can't say that Marleau is going to have that much of an impact. I think the fans will get excited when he finally returns from this road trip, but I think the Sharks just got a lot of work to do. I like their team. I think there's enough talent there. You can't tell me just the loss of Pavelski is going to be that devastating, but the younger kids have to play better. And let's see if that's going to be the case. I mean, the Thorntons and the Marleaus, that's kind of yesterday's San Jose Sharks. The LeBancs and the Logan Coutures of the world, it's now their time, and that's where you got to start to play some better hockey. Victor said, did the Devils make a mistake sending Ty Smith back to juniors, and or is the entire coaching staff on the hot seat? They haven't looked good since they were up 4-0 in the first game. Well, Ty Smith, of course, is their first-round pick from 2018. Certainly their blue line does not look great, giving up 7 goals against Buffalo, 4 goals last night, blowing the 4-0 lead late in the second period against Winnipeg. Although I think if Snyder didn't tweak his groin in that game, then I do think that the Devils would have hung on and probably gotten 2 points instead of 1 there, but you never know. I'm not close enough to the situation to know why he's down in the minor leagues. The Devils historically have usually been very patient with their defensemen. And usually only having them stick on the team at a young age when they're desperate with injury. But the Devils historically have always been a little slow with all of their players, but definitely with the defensemen. So to say it's a mistake, to say things would be different if you were here, very difficult to say. But as I mentioned in the top of the podcast, certainly the coaching staff, I think, is in a lot of trouble. Donnell, one of our favorites, says, Don, the Devils look terrible right now. The game, there's no need for this type of talent, should be playing how they are right now. And it's all on the coach. Hines is the problem, don't you think? I think he's a good coach. I do. But you're right. There's a lot more talent there. Hey, it's 3 games. You can't get crazy. Even the best of teams can, you know, lose 3 in a row. But honestly, it's been an ugly 3. You blow a 4-goal lead at home late in the second period. You know, you're up 4-0 with seconds to go in the second period, and you lose that game, even getting a point. Disgraceful. I mean, Buffalo's off to an amazing start, but 7 goals, a touchdown, awful. You can blame Blackwood all you want still. 7 goals is atrocious. And last night, I didn't really even feel like they were winning that game, even at nothing. It just seemed like inevitable that the goal was going to be scored. And once it was scored, I just felt like the game was over. You shouldn't be in a situation with this kind of talent, 1-0 late in the second period, to feel like a game is over. It's a bad job. Sam says, hey, Don, the Kings looked terrible last night, as did Jonathan, not so quick. I'm pretty sure they would be just as bad with Campbell at goal. Meanwhile, Carter Hart has been tremendous so far. Who would you rather have between the pipes, Hart or Binnington? Carter Hart's been a topic on this podcast for a long time. He's been waiting in the wings for his opportunity. He's 21 years old, got to play last year at the age of 20 because of all the injuries that Philadelphia had. That is not a young man's position. In a sport where we're seeing 18 and 19-year-olds playing as skaters, especially at forward, you don't see that a lot at goaltending. But he got called up early, and I think that's been to his benefit. This was supposed to be the year he was supposed to make his debut, but he was forced to do it earlier. I think he's a tremendous goaltender and could end up being spackling a hole that has been a problem for the Philadelphia Flyers for 20-odd years. It's been a crazy situation there. So I think Hart, I would take over Bennington because I just think Hart's got more of an upside. Remember, Bennington was a kid that bounced around the minor leagues for a long time, finally got his opportunity on a really good team. I think Hart is legit. Quick, it's coming to the end here for him, for sure. He's been around a long time. He's had a series of injuries. That's why if I'm the New Jersey Devils, I'm not sure if I'm going to be making a deal for him. Aaron Kaufman says, we talk about surprise teams off to hot starts. How about the Canes being 4-0? And we know that they're bringing back that conference final team, plus a few sneaky good moves with DeZingel. DeZingel's been good. Gardner's been very good for them, too. Holla, not the biggest names in free agency, but great additions to them. Absolutely. And you lose a Williams who was a money guy for them. You were forced to trade Justin Falk and not get a lot back that's going to be helping you in the interim, although Edmondson is a pretty good defenseman, but certainly not a top defenseman. But you're right. The moves that they've made have been sneaky good. Their goaltending, Reimer's was really good the other night against Florida. Yeah, maybe they'll finally break the trend here in Carolina where it's playoffs and then missing for a decade. Maybe there's finally some consistency there. Chris says, hey, Don, what are your thoughts on Carter Hart flat out robbing Taylor Hall in the second period? If Hart doesn't make that save, it's 1-1 going into the third and a totally different game. Listen, I'm a big fan of Carter Hart for sure, and that was an amazing save. Although the way the Devils have played, I mean, if they're that weak-minded that a big save happens, that you still end up getting your doors blown off in the third period, that doesn't tell me a lot that team would have still won the game tied at one, but you're right. That was a great save by Hart, who I think's got a real chance of the Vezina. I mean, it's tough to say that because he's 21 and he's only played a couple of games, but really, I mean, I think he's that talented of a goaltender. Tom says Blackhawks home opener tonight going up against a wounded Sharks team. Connor Murphy coming back helps, but really can't wait to see DeHaan suit up. This defense can't possibly be as bad as it was last year, right? Fingers crossed. I mean, and then the Blackhawks still almost made the playoffs last year, despite how depleted they were on the blue line, the fact that the goaltending in Crawford was hurt. I'm interested to see the Blackhawks this year. I mean, they're in a really wicked, tough division, but who knows? That's a team that could maybe get some things going here. Getting a lot of Devil tweets, which is cool. Down goes Avery. Devils look the same as last year, but with more talent. Is it troubling? They looked unprepared and overmatched. If things don't turn around immediately, I'm pointing to coaching, too much talent to waste. And then Kyle says Devils got some nice looks yesterday, but ran into a goalie. I think they're going to do something about the whole 16 goals against in just 3 games before anything else. Jury is still out on the Sabres. So you're looking at things a little bit glass half full. Down goes Avery looking at a glass half empty. It's just something we're going to have to keep an eye on. AJ says, hey, Don, regarding the Devils, would you chalk it up to needing time for this team to gel, or is it just a bad system too early to fire Hines? All right, all great points. I will say this to AJ's point. When you bring in new players, although it hasn't hurt the Carolina Hurricanes at all, that sometimes it does take a little bit to gel. And this was a team that was up 4-0 late in the second period against Winnipeg. Nobody was talking about firing the coach. Nobody was talking about time to gel. And then that all kind of fell apart there. They were 4-0 last year. And we were all talking about this team, you know, making the playoffs. And then they didn't even come close to making the playoffs. So it is very, very early. But again, I keep repeating myself, but it's still worth the repeating. You got to keep an eye on it. And we'll just see how it all ends up shaking out. But you lose tonight with all of the conversation about the moves that they made. The focus is going to go on the coach. It's just the way that it works out. That's always the way it's going to be. We got a nice pick from It's Me, Yours Truly. He talks about his ice picks. To me, the line stinks. Pens are awful so far. For Ducks are 3-0. Pens both on money line and goal and a half spread. Well, that's a good pick. I looked at the Capitals on the money line because I was getting a good number there. I looked at that game. I looked at the over in the Lightning Maple Leafs game. It is 6.5, but I took an eye on that because they're two really good offensive teams, and it seems like outside of the Blues game, whenever the Leafs play, it's a shootout. It's a 5-3, 5-4 game, so I looked at the over there. Just a couple of things I've taken a glance at for ice picks. All right, back with you again tomorrow. We got so many games to recap, a weekend to preview. If you want to get in touch with me, at Don LaGreca, hashtag Game Misconduct. That's always the way we do it. Back with you again tomorrow. This was the Thursday edition of Game Misconduct.
Thanks for listening to the Game Misconduct Podcast. Looking for more Don LaGreca? Hear him on the Michael K. Show weekdays from 3 to 7 p.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York and worldwide on the ESPN app. And don't forget to subscribe to the Game Misconduct Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.